Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sylvia F. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 83 on the fourth paragraph, which is the last paragraph, which starts with, if we are painstaking about this space, and we're going to read through two paragraphs, but our comments will start on the seventh sentence. We will lose interest in selfish things, and we'll continue on from there. Today's readers are Sima M. on the 12 Steps, Sherry K.B. on the 12 Traditions, and our readers are Karen T. and Mary H. The reference number for Tuesday, August 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 10312, 10312, and the share ID for this morning's Wednesday, August 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 10314, 10314. Our preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sima M. to read the 12 steps. Sima? Star one, Sima.
Okay, here I am.
Okay.
Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanaged. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Sima M. I will now ask Sherry K.B. to read the 12 traditions. Sherry?
Good morning, Sylvia. Good morning, everybody. Sherry K.B. in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater of the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And that I pass. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Sherry. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 83. We're on the fourth paragraph, which is the last paragraph, which starts, if we are painstaking about this phase, we're going to read through two paragraphs, ending with, they will always materialize if we work for them. Our commenting will begin with the seventh sentence, we will lose interest in selfish things, and go through the end of that to always materialize if we work for them. And I will now ask Karen T. to begin the reading. Karen?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. This is Karen T., compulsive reader from Louisiana. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. So exciting to be reading the promises. These are called the ninth step promises, and we're focusing on the second part of them today. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Before coming into OA, it was what I could get out of life, how I would look, what it would be, what was best for me, how could I get fame, recognition, and money. And in OA, through the process of the steps, we get to see how that's selfish. And we lose interest in those selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Thanks to this process, I feel like I'm a little less self-centered than I used to. Some days better than others, of course. But when I put my head on the pillow at night and I know that I've helped another person and I've been of service, that is the best feeling. And those days when I put my head on the pillow and I feel like I have been selfish, I realize that that is not the way to go. You know, it's just such a difference for me. And so I feel like that my whole attitude and outlook upon life has changed because of these. And these promises are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. Sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. That includes us all. And they will always materialize if we work for them. It's said in these vision meetings a lot that OA is not for people who need the program, and it's not for people who want the program. It's for people who do the program. We have to work for them. They will always materialize if we work for them. And so what actions do we take? Basically, it's pretty easy. We find a sponsor who has what we want, and we do whatever they say. Because our way wasn't working. We have to have our whole attitude and outlook upon life change. Our way wasn't working. And so we take direction from someone else on how to go through these 12 steps and this book that has the clear-cut directions. Thank you so much for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen T. I'm going to take a list for a reading. I want to remind you that we are on page 84, and we're starting with, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows, and we're going for the rest of that paragraph and the next one. And that's what we're commenting on today. And go ahead. Gina
Carrie
R.
F. Roz G.
Okay, I had Gina R. And then I had Roz G. And there was someone in between.
Carrie S.
Carrie S.
Kelly F.
Kelly S.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Liati D.
Liati D. I got you. Okay, that sounds like a good startup list. I've got Gina R, Carrie S, Roz G, Kelly S, Penny LC, and Liat TD. Gina, go ahead. Followed by Carrie.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. This is Gina R, starting my timer, gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Green Valley, Arizona. I'm going to focus on the two words, extravagant promises, and being part of another sister fellowship for years, I can remember reading that in every meeting, and it just went right by me. It just went right by me. And as I started to get recovered and put the food down and clear out the channel so God could talk to me, in my diseased mind, I can tell you that I did think those were extravagant promises. I could not imagine with my diseased mind that I would lose interest in selfish things because I kept being focused on myself, that I would gain interest in fellows. I was interested in other people, but I always had a motivation that would turn it around to benefit me or to somehow cast a shadow on who they were so that they didn't look as good as me. Self-seeking would slip away. I couldn't imagine that with my diseased mind. These were extravagant promises. My whole attitude and outlook upon life changing, are you kidding me? Fear of people and of economic insecurity. I can never remember not being afraid how I was going to pay a bill. And it didn't matter if I had a ton of money or no money. I was always afraid. Being intuitively knowing how to handle situations, what used to baffle me. No, I would shoot first and then pick up the pieces later or try to pick up the pieces later. Suddenly realizing God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. No, I couldn't do it. Once I became recovered, I now see that in a recovered mind, these are not extravagant promises. These actually happen. And so I just wanted to say for the newcomer, if you're reading this and you're thinking there is no way and you know where, H-E-double-L toothpicks, that this can happen for you, please continue to come. Please continue to do what you're being told. If you've never done what you've been told to do, lay aside, use that set-aside prayer and just give this a whirl. I am so delighted that I kept trying. I kept coming back, and that I am now actually experiencing these promises. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, everybody.
Thank you, Gina R. Carrie S., followed by Roz G. Carrie.
Good morning, Sylvia. This is Carrie, recovered in Golden, Colorado. Grateful to be a part of this Colorado contingent of recovered members. And thank God we're in the ninth step promises. I'm going to drill down on the word intuitively. We intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And look, the definition of intuition is direct perception of the truth or fact. And I lied and cheated and sealed in my disease, constantly trying to cover things up, hide things. Furthermore, on the definition, independent of any reasoning process, immediate apprehension. So this idea, independent of any reasoning process, I always had hundreds of alibis. I had trivial excuses of why I needed to taste that one thing, or it was okay if I had that extra lick, taste, or bite. And those little behaviors, they would always send me reeling into a binge. And these are extravagant promises. And I am so grateful that, so 5 years ago when I first came into program, one of the first prayers I memorized had the word intuition in it. Intuitively direct my thinking. God, direct my thinking. I especially ask it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. May I have an intuitive thought or intuition. May I live a spiritual life. And that's what I've been taught by this program. And seeing that it happens in others. And this Colorado contingent of recovered people, it's literally this ripple effect from one member who went and dove into this, cracked open this big book and shared it with her person who became her Ebby, who then became my Ebby. And so I'm in this position now where I get to keep giving it away. And that keeps me recovered every day. And so I have humility. I know I'm always a beginner. I heard a member say, I'm a seasoned beginner every day. And I get to take these actions and get that God shot. You know, I am filled with the presence of God because of this program. I'm not in the food. I'm not miserable anymore. And thank you so much. I'll just keep coming back without a pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. Roz G, followed by Kelly S.
Hi, it's Roz G, and you're going to hear some background noise, so I'll make it quick. I just want to say that this reminds me of where we're supposed to keep others' happiness uppermost in mind. When I used to think of my own happiness, now I really do try to think of somebody else's happiness before my own, keeping that in a good balance. And I'll just kind of comment on sponsorship with this. Sponsorship used to be a big ego trip for me. And for the past two sponsees I've had, it just didn't work out. Good morning. And I couldn't, it just didn't work out. And before I would have hung on to somebody because they were, you know, it was my ego that I was being able to teach somebody something. But now my concern is their recovery, that they get the right message. And if I can't pass on the right message to them, then I need to let another sponsor who has the right message, who has their experience, to be able to help them. And I know that that's God changing because I have a big ego. And since there's a lot of background noise, there's a big truck in my right here around me, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Roz G. Kelly S., followed by Penny L.C.
Hey, guys. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Gosh, there's just so much in this part. I just don't even know where to start. But our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. So many of these promises are coming true for me. Actually, all of them are. And, you know, I share my story often about, you know, being around this program for over 30 years and listening to Vision about 5 years ago and only being recovered now for a little over 2 years. And, you know, I heard these promises for years in the meetings, but didn't ever quite get the thing that, you know, this was when we're doing step 9. I kept wondering when these promises were going to come true, but had never become a recovered compulsive overeater, and certainly had never done the work to get to this part. So, you know, just that this stuff is coming true is a trip to me. Are these extravagant promises? Oh my God, yes. So my whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. And what does that mean for me? What it means for me is I didn't understand the whole concept here, which I've shared before. Like, I thought the whole goal here was abstinence. That was the end all be all, you know, keeping my food down, you know, using the tools, not understanding it was working the steps to have a different life. I put the food down so that I can have this different life, you know. The goal is that I don't need to use the food. Food was my solution to the fact that I didn't know how to do life. You know, I had the wrong outlook to life, you know, and so I had a bad attitude. And so, you know, what I've realized in this short period of being in a recovered state of mind and body is that, you know, my goal here is to be of service and to find a connection with a higher power. It tells us that, and we agnostics, the whole point of this book is to find a relationship with a higher power to solve our problem, which was living. And so today it's like I'm learning to be of service. I'm learning to have connection with God. I'm learning to see what I need to change in my behavior and quit focusing on others. And yeah, you know what? It's tough. And, you know, it is a process. And I heard somebody one time say it's like a dimmer switch, you know. It's like the dimmer switch slowly coming on. I can slowly start to see more as I work this program, you know. I always wanted that instant thing. I wanted God to zap me abstinent, sin, and, you know, render me clean as white as snow, as it says, with my defects. And I slowly start looking back and seeing, wow, it's happening for me, you know, and God is doing for me. I'm reacting differently to things, you know. I'm like, wow, I didn't act bad to that. I didn't get as mad, or I don't get as mad as often. And, you know, yes, it's not an overnight process. It's like the spiritual awakening in the appendix, you know. I slowly become closer to God. I slowly become that person I'm supposed to be that I feel like my higher power wanted me to be. And you know what? I can't do this, guys. I've spent over 30 years trying to do this myself. So I know, suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. I gave up. I'm tired of it. And so I'm willing to do the work today, as somebody else said. You know, we have to do the work. I always love that proverb, you know, pray to God, row to shore. And I used to say, row? I'm supposed to freaking row? I don't want to row. But you know what? Today I'm willing to row. So, you know, I said, thank God for this solution. Well, you know what? This solution's been here. Thank God I'm willing to do the work today. And I started with a set-aside prayer because I've been around for a long time. I've given up. So don't give up if you're a newcomer, because it really does work if you do it like it's laid out in this big book. So get a guide and start this process. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly S. Penny L.C., followed by Liat.
Good morning, Sylvia, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And here we are on page 84, and only 30-some-odd pages earlier, we were focused on the bedevilment. And this is how my life used to operate when I was trying to operate under my own power. You know, I definitely had trouble with personal relationships. I was trying to control the world and each person around me. But today, I don't have to. I'm not self-centered. I don't have to focus on myself, And I care about other people. I care about their well-being, not just my own. Because 30-plus pages ago, when I was in the bedevilment, I was just still trying to operate under my power. And today, on page 84, these promises have come true because now I operate under God's power. And that power source does allow for these amazing promises to come true. I was prey to misery and depression, without a doubt, trying to force things to happen and being depressed when they wouldn't work out according to my rules and according to my mandates. But instead, I can have a whole different outlook and attitude. I can look to see what God's will is, my higher power's will, and I can seek to follow that and be able to have that peace and serenity I've sought out my entire life. And you bet I couldn't make a living. I was just trying to muscle my way through life and there was a discord and disharmony all along the way. And instead, I can let go of that fear of people and of economic insecurity. I know that God will provide for me. And God will protect me and keep me safe. My higher power is there for me every step of the way. And in the past, I was full of fear, but today, with God's direction, I do know how to handle those situations which used to baffle me. All I have to do is pause and ask myself, what would God have me be? And there gives me the direction that I need. And I can do it with that comfortable open-handedness. I don't have to try to force situations anymore. And all in all, it's amazing that I know today that God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And all I have to do is continue to open my heart and to let God lead. And it's an amazing, amazing outcome. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Penny Elsie. Liat, TD.
Good morning, Liat, TD, recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you so much for everyone who are on the line and still in Ethiopia. Man, I was thinking, even yesterday when we were reading the beginning of the promises, how I lived before, you know. And if I had to write my promises, it would be completely different. It would be, I would marry a rich man that will take care of me. You know, I'll have a big, beautiful house, great car, good job, everything external. And if really to fix all my problems, it would be that my mom, who abused me, you know, my whole life, and I felt so sorry about that, will kind of change herself and regret and come and apologize and become a different person, and my brother and anyone that else has hurt me. So it would be everything about fixing everyone else so my life will be, those would be the promises. And, you know, food beat me to submission. You know, it became my master, as we said before. And I had to surrender to something else. You know, and there was no, I mean, for 12 years in tradition in OA, I would hang out and I would hear those promises. And at some point, I couldn't hear them anymore because those didn't come true for me. And they're impossible to even come true for any. I didn't believe in them anymore because they didn't come true for me. I didn't get anything like that. I had a miserable life. I couldn't get out of the food. I couldn't get out of my misery. There was nothing I could carry to anybody else. And I don't know what people even carry to each other because I had a million sponsors that tried with someone like me, and they didn't get it. I didn't get through. So I'm grateful that a few years, like 4 years ago, someone took me to your book. And the transformation happened, and I got those promises. You know, and it says in the book that the purpose of this book is to help me or you find a power greater than yourself that will solve all your life problems. And that's the direction, you know. This is what happens when change happens, you know. And I had to go, you know, find a change that is based on spiritual lines. And those are the promises that I get. I don't get the promises that I think I should have. I get promises that really take care of the problem. And I'm so grateful for that because I didn't even know that I'm in self-pity. I thought everybody wronged me. I didn't know that I didn't have that I was not working, that my actions were not intuitive, that I'm just impulsive. I live like an animal. And so, you know, becoming that different woman that operates on God, along spiritual lines, now I understand that's the best way to live. What a peaceful, wonderful, there's not a lot of effort. And, you know, the 12 of 12 of step six, it says this is the step that separates the man from the boy. And that's what happened to me. You know, those promises, a separation of that little girl, yeah, that wants and operates like an animal to a woman who is kind and loving and has values and intuitions and all those things that I really always did not want it. I just didn't know that that's the way a person like me, a compulsive overeater who is crazy in her head, should live. It's the only way that I can operate in this world. Some people maybe can get a house and be happy with it, and or a diploma of some degree or something. But so someone like me to have peace of mind, to have intuition, all that, and I'm done. I love you all. I can't wait to see you, God willing, in this conference. Bye.
Thank you, Liat TD. I'm going to take another list. I want to remind everyone that we're on page 84, and we're starting mid-paragraph on that first paragraph where it starts, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. We'll finish that paragraph, and we'll go to the next paragraph, and that's what we're commenting on. Who'd like to comment?
Michelle.
Michelle, Kelly. What's your...
Jim K.
Michelle, what...
Terry K. B.
Hey. Michelle,
Jim
what's
K.
the initial of your last name?
L.
Michelle L. And then I have
yep.
Jim K., I've got Sherry KB, and I missed someone else.
Rocky I.
Rocky I. Did I
Mary
miss someone
H.
else in there? Mary H. Okay, I've got Michelle L., Jim
Dorita
K.,
P.
Sherry KB, Rocky I., Mary H., and who was that who just came in?
Dorita P.
Dorita P. Let's go with that. Okay, Michelle L. followed by Jim K.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm sorry, I don't catch your name, moderator.
It's Sylvia.
Sylvia, thank you for your service today. This is Michelle L., gratefully recovered in Delaware, and I'm at the beach this week. And I wanted to share because there's a lot of emphasis on the willingness. There's a lot of emphasis on the work that has to happen in order for self-seeking to slip away and for these promises to start to come true. And I had that experience this week at the beach. And we're in a little beach house, and I was in the master bedroom. It's very nice. It had a, you know, its own bathroom and quite comfortable, and I was happy there. And then my teenage daughter said to me the next morning, Mom, I can't, you know, this room that I was in has cat hair and I can't sleep in it, and we need to switch rooms. And my whole, every fiber of my being was like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm in the nice room. I want to stay in the nice room. And yet, you know, I knew enough to know that that was probably not the most selfless approach that I could take. And how could I, you know, how could I work this through? And I went through a series in my mind about, you know, well, I said to her, well, we'll clean the room really good again, and we'll do this, and you can do this, and yeah. And I was baffled, actually, by the situation. I did not intuitively know how to handle it. So I reached out to my sponsor. And she suggested, you know, that I, she actually asked me the question, what would the most loving thing to do be in this situation? And again, I got to say, that's actually not the answer I wanted. I really wanted somebody to back me up and say, no, this is your hard-earned vacation. It's your hard-earned money. You're a teenage kid in your nice room, you know, all that stuff. But she just asked me that general question about what would the most loving thing to do be. I'm pretty, I have a pretty good defiant streak. So it took me a while to gnaw on that one and ask God and just kind of sit with it. And all of a sudden, something just shifted. And I thought, oh, you know what? It's just a bed and a room in a house. Like, who cares? You can be flexible. You can change. You can do. The most loving thing to do is know that she's suffering from cat allergies. She's got asthma. You know, there's reasons why. And give her the room. you know, surrender, whatever, it doesn't matter. And God's going to take care of me. It's okay. And so I did. I said to her, you know, you guys, and her friend, her cousin's down too, said, you guys can have the room. And we got in the room. Oh, Mom, this room is so nice. I can see why you wanted to keep it. It's like, yep. And it was just kind of funny. And the amazing thing is that, you know, as soon as I was able to shift, I had the willingness, you know, the self-seeking, what was I holding on to? It slipped away. And the other bed's actually better for my back anyway. So thank you for this reading today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Michelle L. Jim K., followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, this is Jim K. from West Virginia. Thank you for your service. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. It says in the last sentence of the one paragraph, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And ever since I've been in that program, I really find that this is happening. And it's just an incredible feeling. And I'm really starting to feel peace I've never felt before in my entire life, serenity that I've never felt in my entire life. And I guess sometimes I question, well, geez, why didn't this happen 40 years ago? But anyway, it is what it is. And I just grasped it with open arms. But some of the feelings like uselessness, it's diminished. Self-pity has kind of gone away. And selfish things, I'm not concerned about that anymore. And the thing about money, economic insecurity. Well, you know, I worry about money, but I mean, it's like, I've never really had trouble paying any bills ever, so why bother worrying about it? So it's all going away. So I'm you know, really blessed to, you know, be in this fellowship and getting the help from all of the people from Vision for You, and it's just such a wonderful turnaround in my life. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jim K. Sherry KB.
Good morning.
And then followed by Rocky I. Thanks.
Sherry KB in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, and I love these promises. What jumps out at me is we intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We'll suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And, you know, I see that over and over again in my life where there were situations that did baffle me, and I was lost at what to do with them. And what I do know now is that I just have to turn around and ask my higher power for help, and I get the answer. I just wait, and I do get the answer. Also just that, you know, there's situations that I've been in that I never thought I would be able to get through, and I really believe that God was doing for me what I could not do for myself, showing me what I needed to do and take care of, and that has changed so much in my life. And then this last part, that they will always materialize if we work for them. Well, actually, before then, I'd like to say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And that's just it. They're sometimes quickly things come to me, and sometimes slowly, and that's okay. I'm not so attached to that anymore as I used to be. I wanted it yesterday. And today, I just know things will come because I have been working for them. And that's the difference. It says if we work for them. And you know, after every meeting I used to hear, it works if you work it. And, you know, I heard that for years and years and years, and I never paid attention to it because anyone can get these promises if you work for it. If you go through this book, go through with a step guide, a sponsor, work the steps, get through here, get to step 9, start doing the amends. These promises do come true for any one of us. It's not magic. It's like because we've worked at it. And I used to think, you know, people get these and I don't. And the truth is I did and I continue to get them because I do work for them. And that's the difference today, is that if I work for them and they do materialize and they aren't extravagant at all, they're just part of the promises, because they are, as people have been talking about, the complete opposite of the bedevilments. And, you know, what I think about too is that what keeps coming up for me is the proper use of the will, and that is for me to align my will with my higher power's will. And every time I do that, things turn out so much better than I could ever dream possible. And I'm just so grateful for all of you on the line, and welcome to the newcomers, and thank God for my higher power, and that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Rocky I, followed by Mary H. Rocky?
Good morning. This is Rocky. I recover in Tempe, Arizona. Sorry, I was supposed to read, but I had to drive, and now it's easier to, I can't read and write. Anyway, oh, the promises, they do happen, people. when I came to program and when I started learning, I was in the complete opposite of the promises, and as I heard them, they were attractive. And it's like, well, you know, you can get them. And by grace, I was granted desperation, and I was granted the willingness to come back, to buy a book, to get a sponsor, to read the little tiny print with no pictures book. You know, the willingness just happened, and little by little, the promises started manifesting in my life, and I live in the promises today. And so my encouragement to the newcomers, you know, you don't have to do it happy. If you have hurt me, I am the person that is willing but is not happy. Well, today I'm happy, but I wasn't, you know. I was willing, but I was not happy. And as God continues to work in my life, I'm willing, but I'm not happy in certain aspects. You know, the food is not a problem anymore. Other addiction, I've been able to put it down. It's not a problem anymore. And my God has called me to work in my marriage, and I'm not happy about it. I'm willing. I'm not happy about it. So, but I know how the program works. I know that I just have to be willing. And certainly, God does for me what I could not do for myself. God has removed the food obsession. God has removed my other addiction. And so I know, because by myself, I could never do it. I've been in program 3 years. God has removed 110 pounds. Food is just fuel for the tank. Food is not sexy anymore. Food is not attractive anymore. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. So to the newcomer again, you know, just be willing. You don't have to be happy. If you're happy, well, that's a bonus. But just be willing. Pick up your book. Pick up your steps. Work the program as it is laid out on the big book. Don't try to come with your own solutions, because it's not going to work. The exact recipe is in the book. That's all you have to do. For the old-timers, if you're struggling, the same thing. Pick up your book. Do it as it is on the book, because it works. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Rocky I. Mary H., followed by Dorita P.
Good morning. This is Mary H., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And when I was thinking about reading the promises, I thought, oh, we read these all the time. And sometimes I can't even hear them. They get read so much in meetings. At least that was before I got recovered. And now that I'm recovered, I hear them. And I would say even before I got recovered, and I was sort of in and out of relapse, I would hear these promises, and I'd go, yeah, 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 right. And I actually would say, are these extravagant promises? And I would say to myself, yes, yeah, I think they are. And what I really wanted was just to take my weight issue away, because I truly believe that that was the only thing that was blocking me from a happy life, you know, to take away this manifestation in my body that shamed me, and I felt like I couldn't maneuver in this world as a fat person, and that was really all I needed. So lo and behold, as I learn more and more and God reveals more to me, I realize, oh, maybe these promises are something that would be nice to have. And I'm going to just kind of zero in on fear of people and of economic insecurity, just basically fear. It wasn't until I let go of the food and really started working the steps that I was able to see how much was underneath that was driving me to eat. And fear, as they say, you know, on page, 67, this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. Wow, resentment was there for sure, but fear just was debilitating me. I didn't realize how much that was debilitating me, and I had no way of processing it, no way of, having courage. All I knew was, oh, just be brave. Like, well, that's easy to say. And I had no power to be brave until, you know, I brought this this friend into my life, this helper, this guardian, this person, God, who loved me and wanted to help me. And now I just, when I'm fearful, I just bring God in. I say, you know, how easy is that? Oh, I wish I had known that a long time ago. Anyway, no regrets. But I just bring God in, and I even see him, and I'll just use the word him because that works for me, just standing next to me, holding my hand, giving me a hug, you know, giving me a push, whatever, just that I'm not alone. And I think that's all I want to say. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary H.
And Dorita P.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Dorita P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And please time me because I can talk for days and days without eating or sleeping about what this program, what God through this program has done for me. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I didn't think I was selfish because I would do things for people, but I always had an ulterior motive. I didn't know at the time I had an ulterior motive, but I did. Just an example of one thing I did. I bought my nieces when they were small and babies. I bought most of their clothes and things. And, you know, I did that so people could say, oh, what a nice auntie she is, you know. So that was my motive. I didn't just do it because I just really wanted to do it. So, but coming here, I found out that I was selfish and I was self-seeking. Just one thing that sticks out, a friend of mine, years ago gave me a lot of money. And then years after that, I gave a friend of mine a lot of money. And I gave it, you know, I wasn't, at the time, she didn't know if she would be able to pay me back ever. But I gave it and I didn't have a second thought about giving it, you know. You know, it was sort of like returning a favor. And that's the way this program works. You know, people helped me and people stayed up all night and listened to me whine and cry. So it's my duty today now to do that for somebody else. I am really grateful for this program. It saved my life. God took 100+ pounds away from me and I'm at a normal weight. And talk about a promise. You know, and these are not extravagant promises. They really do come true. And I'll close with this. And they will always materialize. Will always. You know what a promise that is. You know, and it's funny. You know, in this book, it doesn't say always or use words like that. But here it says, will always materialize if we work for them. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. And this is Sylvia F. I'm going to slip in here for 1 minute, literally. I'm recovered in Northern California. And I also want to jump off on that last sentence. They will always materialize if we work for them. One of the things that I love about this textbook, the big book, is it
is very directive. Very directive. It says exactly, you were required, we must. But when we get to the promises throughout the book, it says, it always puts a qualifier or conditioner in there. It always says, if. It says, so here, they will always materialize if we work for them. And what is it that we're asked to do? We're asked to pick up this book and work the steps. And it says it on in agnostics, if we wish to grow, we have to follow these steps. And throughout the book, it says he provided what we needed if we kept close to him. It's throughout this book, that word if, and the if is follow the directions. And with that, I pass. And thank you to everyone who shared. And please stick around after the recording to we'll greet newcomers and have announcements. But we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Mary H. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.